Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. And joining me in studio this morning, Air Guard Chaplain Major Jim Buckman. Good morning, Pastor Buckman.
Good morning. It's good to be here with you.
Thanks so much for spending some time to talk with us this morning. And tell us about your work as an Air Guard Chaplain.
Well, most recently, I was deployed to the Middle East. I was at Al Udeid Air Base in Qatar for 7 months. And I was deployed there initially to be the deputy wing chaplain. Al Udeid Air Base is our largest base in the Middle East. We have over 10,000 people there. And our chapel there is a large chapel. There's about 14 on staff. There are more during certain seasons of the year. And I was there to be the deputy wing chaplain. And then about 2 months in, I had to step in and become the interim wing chaplain for a short period of time. And then again, a month later, then I was asked to become the wing chaplain. And so I was then the wing chaplain for Al Udeid for the rest of the rotation and was there for about 7 months altogether.
For the rest of us, for the lay people, what does that mean to be a wing chaplain?
Well, it's a very unique ministry experience. It's different in every setting. You can be a wing chaplain with a smaller staff depending on your population base. In that setting, I went to work every day with Catholic priests, a Mormon chaplain. We had a rabbi there. And then also on the chapel staff, we had a wide variety of Christian denominations there. In addition to Hindu, served on the chapel staff there. And so in the chaplaincy, you really do have to bring your A game. Mm-hmm. Because as an LCMS chaplain, you will be in a unique work environment. Most parish pastors don't work down the hallway from a Mormon clergy person or a Roman Catholic priest, or, you know, and so, you know, to become well-versed at speaking the truth in love and giving an explanation for the faith that you have within you, in a winsome way, is very important in the chaplaincy.
How do you serve in, now that you're no longer deployed, what is life like for you now?
Well, I am a, Urban Mission Strategist is my official title. And so basically what I do, I'm called through the New Jersey District. I'm a network-supported missionary. And basically what I do is I help churches plant new worshiping communities. And we are using the house church model. And so we train men and women to work with their pastors and help them plant house churches. We do a lot of work with immigrants, but we also work with long-term citizens of this country as well. And in New Jersey, it's a very unique ministry environment because we have the highest percentage of immigrants of any state in the country, and we have the greatest diversity of immigrants of any state in the country. And so I get to work with East Africans, West Africans, South Americans, Asian Indians. It is just very interesting. And a big part of what I do also is help congregations develop their prayer ministry for witness, mercy, and life together. And prayer is just a great way to build relationships with people. And then through that, then begin to build communities of faith. And so God has really blessed that. And I got to have some time off after I got back from my deployment. I got back August 5th. I'm married. My wife and I have 5 children. And it's just very nice. With technology, during deployment, you can use FaceTime. And I have some really neat stories that I can share with you about that, how you can use that for ministry. With FaceTime, I was able to, you know, stay in touch with my family mm-hmm. almost daily, which is very nice. It's still not the same as being there physically. You know, when I got back from deployment, just spent a lot of time just being with my family.
I bet.
Yeah.
Let's back up in time a little bit and tell us what drew you into the ministry, especially as a chaplain, an Air Guard chaplain.
Well, was attracted to the chaplaincy really when I was 18 years old. I enlisted active duty Army. And when I was on active duty, I had a good chaplain in my unit, and he actually asked me to be his chaplain assistant. He was a different denomination, and so there were certain things we didn't agree on, but he was a good guy, and just kind of opened my eyes to the thought of the chaplaincy. And I had been wrestling with going into the ministry anyhow. And so the chaplaincy seemed like a great way to be in the military and to share Christ's love with people. And being a guard chaplain, it's kind of the best of both worlds because you get to do parish ministry or civilian ministry, and you also get to serve people in the military.
So you had an experience as a lay person,
yes,
serving in the military with a good chaplain, and that really kind of opened your eyes up to this possibility of serving in the ministry. And then going through that struggle of deciding whether or not to go to seminary. So then you went to seminary, and what was your first experience as a chaplain? Any memorable first experiences as a Air Guard chaplain?
Well, one of my first experiences as a chaplain, I was at Fort Monmouth, New Jersey for the Chaplain Officer Basic Course. This is like 20 years ago now. And who'd have ever thought we'd be back in New Jersey? But anyhow, after I got commissioned, I was on base, and my wife was there with me for my commissioning, and we went to the little shopette on base to get some stuff. And I remember walking into that shopette, and there was a young soldier, probably about 18 years old, and he looked very naive and very innocent, and he looked to me like the kind of person who might not might have a difficult time in the military. And I remember, walking through that little shop at and getting some stuff. And as I walked up to him, he looked at me, he saw my rank. I was a brand new butter bar, second lieutenant. And so he said, good afternoon, sir, or whatever. And I greeted him back. And I thought to myself, I said, Jim, this is why you're a chaplain. Because guys like this need somebody to look out for them. And so on a very human level, part of being a chaplain is just taking care of your soldiers, of your airmen, of your sailors, and making sure that they are being taken care of and that they have somebody who will be an advocate for them in their chain of command. And I know that parents and grandparents really do look to the chaplains and are thankful for chaplains being in the military, because that way they know that their loved ones have someone there who is a little older, a little seasoned, is a person of faith, in my case, a Christian, and will really try to take care of their loved ones.
Having served now, as you said, for nearly 20 years, other memorable experiences from your service as a chaplain or now as serving in the civilian side of things?
Since 9/11, there have been a lot of meaningful opportunities to serve. And this recent deployment was just a great opportunity to serve. And I think when we have the deaconess here in a little bit, we'll be able to talk about that. But on this deployment, we're able to share, over 3,000 catechisms with troops and their loved ones. And this was, troops deployed in the Middle East. And so that was very exciting. And we were able to place over 800 LSBs in different chapels and locations in the Middle East. And so that was just really exciting.
We'll talk more about that here in just a little bit. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from the break, we'll talk about that experience and being able to provide these resources to so many of our servicemen and women. Stick around for more of His Time coming up right after this break on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
In 1939, Lutherans started resettling people displaced by World War II. In 1960, we asked, who else can we help, and opened our service networks to refugees and migrants. As wars and conflicts create the need for asylum and refuge, Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service is still asking, who else can we help? Today, with partners, congregations, and volunteers, we're resettling refugees, reuniting families, and rekindling dreams. You can help. LIRS.org/volunteer.
It just might be that you know someone who is aging gracefully but needs a bit of assistance. Perhaps you are looking for a doctor to make a house visit on your mom, or a handyman to fix an elderly neighbor's sink. Or maybe you think your dad qualifies for veterans benefits, but you just aren't sure. Aging Answers is a free service sponsored by Lutheran Senior Services. Make it your go-to source for aging-related concerns. LSS Aging Answers, 314-446-2475.
Jesus and the Bible exhorts us to agreement in all biblical teachings. I'm Rod Zwanitzer, one of the four hosts of Concord Matters, a show with that worthy goal, Concord, inviting you to join us Saturday mornings at 10 and repeated Tuesdays at 2 p.m., as well as 24/7 on demand.
Listen to Concord Matters on the Messenger of Good News, KFUO.
Whether you're a regular worshiper at the church of your choice or find it difficult for you to get to church on Sunday morning, you may benefit from our live worship broadcasts each week on KFUO. Our early service begins at 8 o'clock Central and originates from Blessed Savior Lutheran Church in Florissant, Missouri, where Reverend Matthew Roglin leads divine worship. Our live late worship broadcast at 10:45 comes from Timothy Lutheran Church in St. Louis, where Senior Pastor Ron Rall presides during the worship service. Join us for the message of mercy and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining me in studio this morning, we have Air Guard Chaplain Major Jim Buckman talking about his ministry serving overseas during deployment. Chaplain Buckman, thanks so much for being our guest this morning. And I enjoyed hearing your stories about going into the ministry. So I look forward to talking more here in this next segment.
Thank you.
Also joining us by phone this morning, we have Deaconess Carolyn Brinkley from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, who serves as Military Project Coordinator. Deaconess Brinkley, thanks for being our guest this morning again on His Time.
Thank you so much for asking me.
I'd like to talk about a project that you all collaborated on. Chaplain Buckman, tell us, you started to share a little bit about this before we went to our break. Tell us about this project. There was a need, correct?
Yes. What happened was just really an amazing thing. I was using catechisms in my counseling with service members. I found the catechism to be a very helpful tool as a chaplain. When a service member would come in for a counseling, I would, pray with them and then listen to what they were sharing. And then as they were sharing, I would, think to myself, now, what part of our faith does this deal with? One of the Ten Commandments, one of the articles, and then as I was listening to them, I would get out, I'd have the catechisms out, and I would introduce the catechism to them and explain that this is a book that has 300 questions about the basics of the Christian faith, and that it also has 1,000 quotations from Scripture. And then I would show them the index of topics, and I sort of explain it to them, and I would say, as I'm listening to you, it sounds like we're talking about this. And they would say, yes, that's correct. And I'd say, well, here's, some thoughts from God's Word about this particular topic. And then I would give them a copy of a hardbound catechism, and I would invite them to read, and they would read it, and they would read the question, and then, usually there's a one or two sentence answer, and then three or four or five quotes, and maybe a scripture narrative, and invite them to read from God's Word the answers to these issues. And then we would just discuss that, and then read additional sections, and then I would ask them, if they were married and how many children they had, and I would offer them one for each of their children as well. And being there on the base, they had free postage, so they could mail anything that weighed less than a pound back to their loved ones, and they would then mail these back to their loved ones. And as I explained in the first segment, we had FaceTime there. And so then when they would do their devotions, you know, with their loved ones halfway around the world, they could have the catechisms and they could read through the catechisms together in their family devotion time. Hmm. And when I first got out there, a lady who's a strong supporter of ours in the ministry, as I mentioned, I'm a network-supported missionary, she asked what she could do to support, and I said, I would like some hardbound copies of Luther's Catechism. And, you know, we had a discussion where the paper was better, the hardbound was better, and I really felt the hardbound was better because it looks more impressive. And, you know, when it's shrink-wrapped, it just looks like a nice gift and everything. And so she sent about 60 of those, and so I started giving these to the troops. And, I mean, they were just taking them and taking them. And so then I started in my newsletters I send out, my e-letters I send out, I started asking for them. And the deaconess started sending catechisms and encouraging people to send catechisms. And people were ordering the catechisms directly through CPH. I think CPH might have sent out close to 2,000 directly. But then also churches were sending them in off their bookshelves. People were sending them for extra ones from their homes. You know, Deaconess recently sent me one that had been sent to a sailor in World War II by his pastor. Had a really neat note written inside of it. And so I've got a little personal library of catechisms now, the different editions over the years, and that's kind of cool. And so we were just able to bless a lot of people with the fundamentals of the Christian faith, and that was just very rewarding.
Deaconess Brinkley, when you first heard about the need that Chaplain Buckman expressed, what was your initial thought?
I was overwhelmed with this wonderful window of opportunity. It seemed huge, and I felt very small. So I just started talking on campus with students and professors and gained their support, put something up on Facebook, then the seminary put it up on their Facebook, got many nice comments and people wanting to help, and I thought, people kept asking me the same questions over and over again on the seminary Facebook, so they suggested I put up my own event, which was a first thing for me, and then it just spread like wildfire with the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And I would have pastors call me saying, our congregation has allotted $2,000, $3,000 for hymnals and catechisms. And at that point, I would say, well, would you consider in that allotment if you would also purchase and send the Concordia Organist, which is a 31 CD set, organ accompaniments of all the hymns and liturgies in the LSB? And they said yes. So I think, Chaplain Buckman, we were able to send you about 9 Concordia Organists with all of those LSBs. So not only could they have the hymnals, but they could sing.
So Chaplain Buckman, it started off with small catechisms in your ministry to those you were serving as Aragorn chaplain, and handing out these catechisms in your counseling with these individuals and reaching to their families as well around the world. And then it sounds like we could use hymnals and other things. Tell us about that, how that unfolded as well.
Well, like the deaconess said, God just really opened up a lot of doors, and we praise God for all of this. And at the chapel, we ran 50 Bible studies and worship services every week. And I had a good working relationship with these other chaplains. And it was very interesting because I started sharing the catechisms with the other chaplains, and they were very open to it, and they started getting copies for their children also. And then they were so receptive that they invited me to share the catechisms with the people attending their Bible studies. And so I was invited to many different types of Bible studies, and I would come in, I'd have the catechisms, I'd explain it to them, make it available to the service members, and encourage them to take copies for their loved ones back home. And so there was just a big demand. And then because Al-Udeid Air Base is the largest base there in the Middle East, all the chaplains in the AOR, the area of responsibility, would flow through there. And so they'd always stop by the chapel and we'd make small talk and, you know, share with each other and encourage each other. And the chaplains would oftentimes ask for resources because out in their locations, they didn't always have a lot of resources. And so I would share with them about the LSB and the catechism, and they would take them and they wanted them for their troops. And so we placed LSBs and catechisms in about seven different chapels in several different countries in that part of the world. And the beautiful thing is that chaplains come and go, but those hymnals remain. And so there are chapels now for the first time that have the LSB in them. And so when service members go into those chapels, they will see the LSB, and if they would like it, it's there for them to use in worship. And so I think that's a good thing.
And I could go on for hours probably about the wealth of resources, the material in Lutheran service book. Not only is it a hymnal with hymns for worship and all the orders of service, but also the resources for prayer for individuals and families and small groups. There's so much in that, especially in the front of that hymnal alone. What a great resource. And I'm sure it brings me joy to hear that you were able to be a part of bringing these resources to these people, to bring God's word for their devotion, for their worship. Deaconess Brinkley, hearing Chaplain Buckman's story about bringing these resources to these people and being a part of that, with just about a minute left, your thoughts on what it feels like to be a part of that?
In the past 6 years, I've taken care of probably 50 chaplains, but I must say that this was the most exciting, rewarding, and joyful opportunities that I've had. And this is a very special morning because Chaplain Buckman and I have never met. So this is the first time we're actually getting even to talk to each other. And I look forward to meeting you, Chaplain Buckman. I hope you will come and visit us in Fort Wayne on our campus.
I sure hope I get to, and I want to be sure to bring my daughters so that they get to meet you and learn
more
about
it. Oh, I would love that.
And I just want to say also, I have never had a chance to work with a deaconess, and Deaconess Brinkley has just set the bar very high, and I just cannot thank God enough for her partnership in ministry.
Well, thanks be to God.
It's been my pleasure.
Thanks be to God for both of you and all who contributed and worked together to bring these resources to our servicemen and women, that they can have these faithful resources to help them and aid them in worship. And thanks for your leadership, Chaplain Buckman, and bringing that about. It's been a pleasure and a joy to talk with both of you. Our guests today have been Deaconess Carolyn Brinkley with Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. She serves as Military Project Coordinator. Deaconess Brinkley, thanks for being our guest again here on His Time.
Thank you.
And Air Guard Chaplain, Major Jim Buckman. Chaplain Buckman, thanks for being our guest here on His Time and sharing your story with us. It's so nice to hear a joyful and delightful story like this. Thanks for being our guest.
It's a privilege and a pleasure to do it.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got more His Time. Stick around for our study of the daily New Testament reading right here on Worldwide KFUO, the Messenger of Good News.